People out there.
I had real I had real difficulty logging on. I logged on using what was in the email and couldn't get in. And anyway, I hope I don't have the same problem in trying to join the regular meeting.
Janet, can I ask you? I did a few months ago send you another panelist link. That did not work either?
No.
Okay. So I don't know. Today we may have to have you enter as a general public member, and I will promote you to panelists just in case that happens in the next meeting.
Okay. This is the special meeting of the Air District Advisory Committee meeting of February 3rd, 2022.
It's March 3rd.
March 3rd. Well, that's what the... my agenda package from page number 3 says February 3rd, so I am reading from the wrong... It was included in the agenda packet. So this is March 3rd. And please take a roll call.
All right. Chair Brennan.
Here.
Member Copeland.
Sandy Copeland, yes.
Yes, thank you. Committee member Mack. Committee member McClooney, excuse me.
Present.
Thank you. Committee member Storm. Committee member Stroh.
Here.
Committee member Turley.
Here.
Thank you. Committee member Swint, she said she may be late, so okay. Committee member Smith is excused, absent. Committee member Rack is excused, absent. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have quorum.
We do have a quorum?
Yes, we have 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes.
Okay. The first action item is to accept and file summary of actions for the February 3rd, 2022 special meeting. Are there any additions or changes from committee members, from the public? If not, we'll accept and file those. The next item is to receive a report on the status of AB 361. Richard?
Thanks, Chair Brennan, members of the committee. This should be old news by now, but this special meeting is going to allow us to continue to meet by teleconference for the next 30 days. Actually, our next meeting, we're still covered under the previous special meeting, but this allows us some greater flexibility. And because of the uncertainty, we may not even need to have a teleconference session next time around. But at this moment in time, the findings that your body has to make is that there is a need for a teleconference committee based on two factors. One of them is that the governor has declared an emergency due to COVID-19. So we are currently in a state of emergency that has not been lifted as of yet. And the county health officer in Monterey has requested and suggested and recommended that folks wear face masks and practice social distancing in meetings. With those two findings, that will be enough to trigger the AB 361 requirements, which basically allows us to meet through teleconference without all the Brown Act requirements in our normal Brown Act teleconferencing procedures. So I would suggest that somebody make a motion, and if you agree to continue teleconferencing for the next 30 days, then somebody could second that and you can vote.
Is there a motion to make the finding?
I'll move.
I'll move for the continuance of the teleconferencing.
Is there a second to the finding?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to make the finding appropriate to AB 361. Are there any comments from the public? If not, back to the board. Will you pull the board, please?
Will do. Member Turley?
Yes.
Committee Member Swint, have you arrived? Okay. Committee Member Stroh?
Aye.
Committee Member Storm, have you
arrived? Yes.
Oh, thank you. Committee Member McClooney?
Yes.
Committee Member Mack, have you arrived? Committee Member Copeland?
Yes.
Chair Brennan?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, pass, Chair
Brennan. Motion is carried. Now is the time for comments from the public on items not on the agenda.
Nothing received at the district office.
Thank you. We will adjourn the special meeting and re-adjourn, hopefully, at the regular meeting. So see you in a minute if I can get on.
We stay on the same Zoom link right now here.
So we don't have to reconnect?
No.
Oh, good. All right. So I am calling the District Advisory Committee meeting, a regular meeting to order on Thursday, March 3rd at 1:30. please pull the board.
Will do. Okay. Committee Member Copeland?
Yes.
Committee Member Mack? Committee Member McClooney?
Yes. Here.
Committee Member Rack, she is excused absence. Committee Member Smith, excused absence. Committee Member Storm?
Here.
Committee Member Stroh?
Here.
Committee Member Swint? She said she may be late. And Committee Member Turley?
Here.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. And Chair Brennan, I forgot to.
Here.
Okay, we have six, we have quorum.
So we have a quorum.
Yes, just at six.
Okay, next item are changes to the agenda. Are there any changes?
Yes, Madam Chair, there's one slight change, and that is to welcome a new committee member, and that is Eric Andreessen, who is on our call right now and just turned his video on. So he is an appointee of board member McShane. And he comes to us with a lot of experience in the private sector and seems like a great guy. We've already met. We've talked about a number of different items, and he has a really good appreciation, understanding of what's going on with us, and will be an added value to the organization. So I don't know if you have anything you would like through the chair, Eric, to say.
Eric, welcome. Do you have any comments? He's muted.
Can't hear you. Let's see.
Still can't hear you, Eric.
That's not on our side. It's
the joys of technology.
Okay, we got a message from him. So hopefully he'll be able to resolve the sound issue while we meet. Next item, are there any comments from the public on items not on the agenda?
No comments were received at the district office.
Okay, the next item is to accept and file the summary of the meeting of regular meeting of February 3rd, 2022. Are there any comments from members? Any comments from the public? If not, we will accept and file the minutes. You know, Richard, technically we're supposed to do a roll call with Zoom meetings on minutes.
I can.
No, why don't we do that?
We need a first and a second.
It's been, so do a roll call on like second minutes.
I'll move that way. Do we have to move it?
Yes.
Okay. I'll move that we accept the roll, accept the previous meeting.
Thank you.
Minutes. Thank you.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded to accept the minutes of the previous meeting. Roll call.
Chair Brennan.
Yes.
Member Copeland.
Yes.
Committee member Mack, have you arrived? Committee member McClooney.
Yes.
Committee member Storm.
Abstain.
Thank you. Abstain. Okay. Committee member Stroh.
Yes.
Committee member Swint, you're here?
Yes, here.
Thank you. Committee member Turley.
Yes.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 yay and 1 abstain.
Motion passes. Now we will receive a presentation on the AB 2766 fund allocation and make recommendations to the board. David Frisby.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair and rest of the advisory committee. This is an opportunity for us to present to you the AB 2766 program, which is, it focuses on motor vehicle emission reductions. This is the beginning of our annual cycle. We introduce the program and make any changes at this time, this month. And so Chris Dumich, I'll introduce Chris. She's been with us for about 5 years now, but she's been mostly working in the open burning, prescribed burning, and wood stove changeout programs. And she is going to present to you today the program. So we invite you to make comments. We're looking for your guidance and suggestions for this program to make improvements. So without further ado, I'll introduce Chris.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can everybody hear okay and see my screen?
Yes, we see your screen.
Okay. So as David mentioned, we're going to give a little presentation on AB 2766, the Motor Vehicle Emission Reduction Program for this year. My name is Chris Dumich. I'm an air quality planner for the district. So the background for Assembly Bill 2766 is that we use it for motor vehicle emission reduction grant program. So our objective is to solicit and fund cost-effective motor vehicle direct emission reduction projects. Now, the California Health and Safety Code 44220 allows a portion of our DMV registration fees, $4 a vehicle, to fund AB 2766. This is the program outline. So the AB 2766 funds the Clean Air Management Program, as well as the Clean Vehicle Program. The Clean Air Management Program funds things such as roundabouts, design and construction, adaptive traffic signal control, also advanced clean transportation, public and private, focusing this year on medium fleet. And the Clean Vehicle Program covers things such as the electric vehicle voucher replacement incentive for public agencies, also our electric vehicle incentive program for district-wide for light duty personal vehicles, also e-motorcycles and electric bikes. Now, the following slides are going to show you some projects that we have funded through the course of our history with AB 2766. This is a roundabout project conducted in Soledad a few years back. This slide shows you another roundabout in Salinas off of Veranda and the streets listed, McKinnon, El Dorado, Natividad, and Independence. In the city of Monterey, we did some adaptive traffic signal controls. This is a map that shows you the location. And here is a list of some of four of the projects that we have done, the four phases rather. And the TPY is tons per year and references tons of emissions, reactive organic gases, NOx, and PM10, which we'll save with these projects. There's another adaptive traffic signal control project. This is in the city of Watsonville, both on Freedom and Green Valley Roads, or Freedom Boulevard and Green Valley Road. As well, city of Capitola, Soquel, and 41st. And here's an electric trolley that we purchased or helped fund for the city of Santa Cruz. This is just a picture of the inside, and it's from Phoenix Motor Cars. And we had one trolley delivered in December of 2019 and the second one in December of 2020. MST is starting to get some electric buses. So we've funded four and two have been delivered to date. And the city of Salinas, with their fleet electrification project, got one box truck and two flatbeds. And here's some benefits from electrification. They're estimating by 2050, electrification should help prevent almost 60,000 premature deaths, eliminate 4.7 billion metric tons of climate pollution, significantly reduce NOx, reduce particulate pollution by 200,000 tons, which is all very impressive, and save at 485 billion health and environmental benefits. So I'm gonna go through the Monterey Bay Air Resource District, our light duty electric vehicle incentive program. So this just gives you an idea of our program, our electric vehicle incentive program, or EVIP, over the course of the years that we've run it from fiscal year 17 to current. And the dark boxes shows you the number of applications we've received over time in relation to the data in the back is the incentive amount that we offered that year. So you can see this year we have received, looks like 163 applicants, and we're giving out $1,500 per application, depending on the type of incentive, of course. So our electric bike incentive program, we allocate $50,000 from the budget, the AB2766 budget. It's open to, this year we're proposing that we open it to all residents district-wide. There will be an additional $500 incentive. There's gonna be a $500 incentive for anyone who qualifies. And if they're qualified low income, they will receive an additional. So they can receive a maximum of $1,000. The e-bike must be new, it must be purchased locally, it must be purchased from an established e-bike retailer, not a place like Costco. Also, the e-bike purchase price restrictions, it has to be a minimum of $1,000 and $4,000 is the maximum. And we limit the style of e-bikes to classes 1 through 3. And these pictures are some of, we have four recipients this year so far. And according to Ty Bell is the one who runs these programs, the EVIP and the EBIP. And he said that he continues to receive calls daily of interest, of people interested in the e-bike program. Some of them have voiced intentions to apply, but you know, very few end up applying. So this is our proposed funding for this year's AB2766 program for clean air management. We have 1.2 million and we are proposing to parse it out as shown. Roundabout design and construction, about 400,000 for each of these line items. Adaptive traffic signal control, and then adaptive or advanced clean technology, transportation rather, sorry, looking at two screens. In the clean vehicle program, we have the electric vehicle voucher incentive program and the EVIP, which are the programs I just went over, the our e-bike and our EVIP. We have a total of $450,000 allotted for that. And you can see how we have the incentives broken down by program under EVIP. And this is some of the information that David mentioned that we're looking for guidance or recommendations on this. Now, this slide gives you an idea of how we allocate our budget for the clean transportation program. And how we get these numbers is we take the total county population and we use it to determine the allocation percentage so that we can fund the clean air management program per county. So this, the larger, lighter blue is Monterey. They have, Monterey has 56% of the funding based on total county population. Santa Cruz County is 421,000. They have 35%. And San Benito County, 103,808. From last year, Monterey County dropped a percentage and San Benito gained a percentage. So that is the end of the presentation. At this time, we would like to ask for any input or guidance for this program.
Okay, are there questions, comments from committee members?
I have a question.
Is that Sandy?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Why is the incentive for electric motorcycles only $300 compared to $500 and up for the other two things when a new electric motorcycle is like $20,000? Am I correct?
Yeah. I can type in here. We've you know, it's tough to try to figure out a sweet spot for how much to incentivize for each of these different vehicle types. We've traditionally just done $300 for electric motorcycles. There hasn't been a great deal of interest, so that's something we could bump up and make it equivalent to the electric bicycles. It's just really hard to know. So that's a comment that we could take into consideration and increase the amount.
Well, the only reason I even know that is because my husband is a connoisseur of motorcycles. I'm like, oh, electric motorcycles. I think they start around, a new one, and you would need to be purchasing a new one for an incentive. And I would say they start around $20,000, and an electric bicycle is like around five or six. Am I right?
Yes.
Right. And they're getting 10%. Right. Or $500. And so $300 doesn't seem comparable. I don't think someone who's buying a $20,000 motorcycle is going to be like $300. Yay. You know, I don't know. That is my two cents.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy. Other comments from the committee? I do want to, commend the district for its robust funding of roundabouts. They are hugely important in terms of reducing vehicle emissions and greenhouse gas emissions. So glad to see that amount being put towards roundabouts. Other comments from the committee?
I had a comment.
Okay, Alan.
Yeah, you brought up the roundabouts. I know there are a couple at least planned here in Salinas. Would it be possible to get reports on the progress on some of those as we go along with our meetings? You know, because it seems like we've been talking about these roundabouts now for a couple of years, and I haven't seen very many of them actually under construction. And I know there's a lot of planning that goes into those, but it would be nice to have an update periodically if that's possible.
Okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. request for update on roundabouts. I know the ones on Highway 68 will not be occurring for a while because of the complexity of that entire project, but there's proposed 7 roundabouts on Highway 68. So other comments? Well,
I could just comment on that last comment. We've actually completed and seen a lot of completion of roundabouts throughout our jurisdiction, including Salinas. So we'll make sure next meeting that we get you a report of projects that have been funded, including the Holman Highway. I know that's not in Salinas, but we helped do the study and some educational and engineering analysis for that to occur. So without us, I'm not sure we would have been so successful. So the only other thing I would say is roundabouts are great, but as we start to electrify our fleet, those returns diminish over time, especially when we have a governor who wants to see us, getting away from combustion altogether. So but we're continuing to look for those projects and we'll hopefully fund those in the future, but we've done a lot of them so far.
Well, aside from reducing emissions, they do help relieve congestion. So there's a dual benefit from roundabouts. Any other comments?
Yeah, Chair, I have a comment.
Matthew?
Yes. So just to build on transportation, I know that transportation policies are not necessarily the purview of the district, but obviously programs like this have a big impact on the transportation sector and reducing emissions. As we're talking about, there's a lot of other projects happening. And so I wonder, does the district, I guess this is a question about if the district already does reporting on this, or if they could bring some more information to us about the air quality impact of those other transportation projects, essentially the ones that I guess TAMSE is overseeing predominantly, because we've highlighted some through this program, but of course there's many others happening and those have their own air quality impact.
Okay, thank you, Matthew. Any other comments? If not, we will go to the Air Pollution Control Officer monthly report. Rich, you're muted.
Sorry, I never wanted to be that guy, and there I am again. I was apologizing for the fact that you probably don't have a copy, or I know you don't have a copy of my report in front of you. There's not much that's occurred since the last board meeting, and I'll just go through my notes with respect to what I told the board right a week or so after we had our last meeting. But we were delegated from the USPA to receive, to oversee the new source performance standards and national emission standards for hazardous air pollutants to also implement and enforce federal regulations. And those mainly deal with Chapter 40 and the Code of Federal Regulations, Part 60 and 63. But it's mainly for being able to regulate stationary internal combustion engines and the like. We've got municipal solid waste landfills and compression engines. So sort of into the weeds on that one, but it's always nice to have that in our toolkit to be able to do additional enforcement. In our engineering program, we just hired a new engineer, Fernando Pena. He started back in January, but we're really happy to have him. He's a great guy. He received his BS degree in chemical engineering from Cal Poly Pomona. He has an MS degree in environmental engineering for Cal State Fullerton and an MBA from Cal State Dominguez Hills. And he's had previous engineering experience in wastewater treatment and oil drilling. And he served as a chemist for an electronic manufacturing facility. So he's got a really good background that will complement his job as an engineer in our permitting program. And this is something that you guys have heard about before, but there's a standing item on the board agenda that I report on every month, and it's about odors from the marina area. Specifically, there's a number of sources of potential odors, all of that we don't really regulate odors per se, but we try to track down any emissions that can be associated with those. This is the landfill. We have a digester there, or there was one. We now have open windrow composting as a result of new legislation through CalRecycle, which diverts putrefying waste to composting and out of the landfill. It creates a lot of odor and actually a lot of VOCs. There's also ag in that community. And if you drive along the freeway, you'll notice that, especially after they plow some of the cruciforms and other vegetables, that it can stink pretty bad too. So we received about 20 odor complaints between December 18th and February 9th. I can add to that, we just received a couple more this last few weeks. So it's continuing. I've smelled it, but it's hard to really determine what the cause is. It definitely smells like landfill gas at times, and other times it smells like compost material. So we're continuing to work with all parties, but we're actually a receptacle. We receive a lot of the complaints, and then we send it out on a listserv to make sure all the appropriate authorities are aware of what's going on. We also have a new employee, and he's an air monitoring specialist, and he comes to us from UCSC, where he received his BA in Earth Science and Anthropology, and he's got an MS in Earth Science and Environmental Sciences. His name's Eddie Balleron, and he's also a really great guy. We're lucky to have him, and he's got work as a senior technician and project manager also for an advanced environmental, which is a consulting firm in San Jose. And he's got a lot of experience in industrial hygiene and monitoring. So also let a board know that we've expired all the funds or allocated all of our $87,500 for our wood stove changeout program. I know we talked about, with looking at David, who's there, we talked about bringing that back. We're still waiting for a word on what that program is going to look like from the state. So we hopefully will have at least $250,000 to dispense this next budget. But before we set the program up, we'll be speaking to the advisory council to get your input and information on that. Also, David, we probably talked about this a little bit, but our electric vehicle incentive program is marching along. It's not as successful. We've heard things that dealers are really starting to increase the price of the vehicles because of COVID and because of shortages and you name it. So we're not seeing the money disappear like it used to in the past. So we've got about probably well over $200,000 remaining to be distributed to our applicants for that electric vehicle incentive program. And that's outside of the electric bicycle program. We're also trying to get more of the low-income folks to get into these vehicles. It makes sense for them. We're trying also to get more charging stations installed throughout our jurisdiction. But out of our 154 applications, only 9 of those were low income. So we'd really like to turn that around and get higher numbers on the low income side. And so we'll be designing that as we move forward with the comments we received today, as well as others that we receive when we start developing that program. We also have a Spare the Air program, which is continuing in the San Lorenzo Valley. This is modeled after what the Bay Area Air Quality Management District does during winter months. And this is to voluntarily request that people choose not to heat their home with wood burning devices when we have inversions such as air stagnation events and that sort of thing. I'm happy to say we have not had any of those this winter. So we have not had to call a spare the air alert. Although we have a lot of unhappy people up in the San Lorenzo Valley area because they are impacted on a very neighbor and personal level by some people that decide to burn dirty wood, or they're using a stove where they turn down the damper and it just creates a real havoc for people in those areas. So we do have an enforcement arm that we usually go through education first and send notices to the offending party. And then if it's really egregious, we'll try to take action, but our hands are fairly limited with residences. We don't have a lot of authority to enforce on that. especially for smoke that occurs at night. It's hard to get a smoke reading at night for the obvious reasons. All right. And then another thing, I told this to the board, this was back last month. I thought the very next day there would be an announcement across all media that California got its waiver back for the ability to implement and enforce its own motor vehicle emission standards. That's still in the pipeline, but it hasn't occurred yet. It was imminent, but we're really hopeful that California will get the ability. It was taken away during the Trump administration, and this current administration is making sure California, along with 13 other states, have adopted their own standards. And California is probably the gold standard when it comes to vehicle emissions reductions and zero emission vehicles across the country as well as the world. So that's pretty much it. I'd be happy to answer any questions. You're muted, Janet.
Next item is future agenda items. Any recommendations for future agenda items? Seeing none, I have no comments. Are there comments from committee members? So if not, there being no other business, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Good
day. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.